As a kid, I used to love what show and tell at school. I actually don't know if they still do it at schools, but they do. Do they still do it? Yeah, they do. It's great. I used to love it. You know, Monday mornings, we'd all bring something into school, and we'd something that we'd done on the weekend, and we'd show everyone what we'd done. I feel like I still love show and tell. Sometimes when people come over and they're interested in woodwork or something, I'll take them straight to my garage. I'll show them my tools. I'll show them the things that I've made. And if you came to the Christmas celebration last year, you would have been recipients of my show and tell. As I brought out my different tables that I made, I put them all around the backyard. I love show and tell. And as we look at this passage today, what we see is Jesus doing a bit of show and tell. He shows us who he is and he tells us why he came. Does a show and tell. Now, the first thing we see is that Jesus preaches about a problem. You might like to have your Bibles open and the outline in front of you too. We're looking at Luke chapter 4. And Jesus here is telling us why he came. This is the problem that he preaches about. Now, in this point, we're looking at Luke 4, 13 to 30. In verse 16, Jesus arrives in his hometown, Nazareth, and he does what he always does. He goes to the synagogue. Now, the word synagogue is used about seven times in this chapter. I think it's the most out of any other chapter in the New Testament. So the synagogue is in focus today. If you look at verse 15, he's been all around the countryside teaching in synagogues. He arrived in Nazareth in verse 16, goes to the synagogue where he reads and teaches them. In verse 31, he goes to Capernaum and again he enters the synagogue and teaches. It's full of Jesus teaching in synagogues. In the first instance, Jesus reads from Isaiah 61 and then sits down taking the posture of a teacher. And he says to them in verse 21, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What does this scripture say? In verse 18, Jesus claims that the Spirit is on him, that he is the anointed one, that his role is to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. All these phrases point to Jesus preaching the good news of the kingdom. Later on in verse 43, we see that Jesus clearly teaches them what his role is, to preach the good news of the kingdom. Here we hear in this passage from Isaiah, it's mixed with preaching and healing. And perhaps you can see the healing sections as spiritual healing. But what we see here in the life of Jesus is that these types of miracles actually happen. He brings sight, he brings freedom, he does all these things. Jesus is telling us why he came. He came to deal with our problem of sin. Poverty, sickness, blindness, demon possession, they're all because we live in a world marred by sin. And it's the preaching of the word that is the solution to this problem. The primary means of setting people free in whatever social or political circumstance is the proclamation of the gospel. It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that saves people from their sin problem. And this is what Jesus is saying to them in the synagogue. God has sent Jesus to proclaim the gospel. If you look at verse 15, you'll notice that Jesus preached and was glorified by all. People loved what he taught them. We see it in verse 22 as well. All spoke well of him and were amazed at his gracious words that came from his lips. But then there's this little comment at the end of verse 22. Can you see it there? "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son?" Now, we've been going through Luke and I've been trying really hard to point out that Jesus has been declared the Son of God again and again. This is the message, isn't it? Jesus is the Son of God. But who do the people in the synagogue say Jesus is? Joseph's son. Isn't this Joseph's son? Now, in one sense, they're right. This is Joseph's son. But they're also wrong, aren't they? And this is the reason why Jesus responds to them the way he does in verse 23. It seemed very abrupt to me when I was reading through it. Look at verse 23. Surely you'll quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard that you did in Capernaum. Now, they didn't realise that Jesus is sent from God. It's why he says in verse 24, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. And then he gives them a few examples. He tells them about Elijah. During the famine, he was sent by God to someone outside of Israel, to a foreigner. He tells them about Elisha, and he too is another prophet sent to cleanse an outsider, someone from not from Israel. And Jesus is saying to those in the synagogue, for a long time, the people of Israel have not accepted people sent by God. So God sent them to the outsider. And they're furious, those in the synagogue. They're angry. And the first sermon that Jesus preaches in the book of Luke is met by an angry mob that then try and throw him off a cliff, but Jesus just walks right through them because he is the Son of God. The point here is that Jesus is rejected in his own hometown. Now, maybe you've experienced this too. Maybe you've tried to speak to someone about Jesus and they don't necessarily reject your message, but it feels like they reject you. That's what we see here with Jesus. We try and tell them about Jesus and his saving work, and they look at us like we're crazy. They say it can't be true. I remember a friend of ours saying that following Jesus is a cop-out. It's a way to explain why we're here on earth. It's an easy way to live your life. And we shouldn't be surprised. The Son of God was rejected because he told them the truth. The Son of God told them. So, of course, if we speak, people are going to reject our message and maybe even reject us. The point here is to make sure that you truly see who Jesus is. Don't look at all he does and think he's Joseph's son. But Jesus is the Son of God. And because he is the Son of God, and because he preached the forgiveness of sins, you can trust him. You can go to him. You can believe in him. And you will receive eternal life. If we teach that the only way to have eternal life is through Jesus, people are going to be upset. People are going to say we're intolerant. But that's what we're called to do, to preach the truth about Jesus. That he is God's Son, that he died and rose again, that he came to bring us good news. See, the primary means of setting people free in whatever social or political circumstance, is the proclamation of the gospel. That's what we see here in this first point, and that's what Jesus preaches to, the problem, to tell us why he came. Now we're heading into our second point now, and we're looking at verses 31 to 41, and what we see is that Jesus heals a lot of people. What we see is that Jesus heals symptoms in some degree. And I want you to notice that as Jesus heals, it actually shows us who he is. He shows us his true identity. Jesus heals symptoms to show us who he is. And he confirms the reading in Isaiah, and he confirms that he is the Son of God. Now in verses 31 to 41, it's a new day in the narrative. It's another Sabbath. And we have three events, morning, noon and night. We'll go through each one of those briefly. So in the morning, he heads to the synagogue, and we're told in Capernaum, it's a city in Galilee. Jesus is doing what he was sent to do. He was teaching. His teaching's well received. And in verse 32, the people are amazed. And then we're introduced to a man who is demon possessed. Now you remember what those in Nazareth said about Jesus, that he's Joseph's son. But the demon came out of this man, and look at what he says about Jesus in verse 34. Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The demon declares who Jesus is. He gets it right, doesn't he? He tells them, Jesus of Nazareth, you are the Holy One of God. But this demon does it in fear. He says, are you going to destroy us? Now, it's quite a contrast to those in Nazareth, isn't it? They declared Jesus to be the son of Joseph, not even a messenger from God, not even a prophet, not even God's son, and yet they tried to kill him. But the demon has got it right. Jesus is the Holy One of God and is to be feared because he has control over them. And Jesus rebukes the demon in verse 35. Be quiet, he says, come out of him. And the demon comes out. Jesus has power over the demon. Jesus is the Holy One of God. Jesus shows us his authority. And the people are amazed. We see that in verse 36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. Well, it's now about midday. Word is getting out about Jesus, and we're told in verse 38 that he leaves the synagogue and goes to Simon's mother-in-law's house. Again, Jesus now heals another symptom. He's showing us who he is. This time, Simon's mother-in-law has a fever, and Jesus rebukes the fever, and she's healed. There's no rest for her, and now that she's better, she starts to serve everyone. Lovely. But the healing doesn't stop. Verse 40, we're told that Jesus lays hands on many people and everyone who was sick was healed. Demons rebuked, and Jesus didn't let them say anything because they knew who Jesus was. See, as Jesus heals symptoms, he shows us who he is. His true identity is revealed. Jesus is the Son of God. Now the sun's starting to set. It's evening. Again, we're told of more miracles. The sick are healed, demons are expelled, and Jesus again shows them he is the Son of God, that he has authority over all things. Look at verse 41. It says, moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they all knew he was the Christ. All of this healing shows us that Jesus has authority over all things. And the response to Jesus is to Jesus healing many is clear. The news of him spread throughout the surrounding area. We see that in verse 37. People came to see him, and we see in verse 42 that people are still trying to see him. I remember the day a bank was robbed when we were in Ecuador. I was walking down the main street in Loja, I saw people starting to run towards the centre of town all around me. I was walking towards the centre of town as well. And I stopped for a moment because I thought, what's going on? What's going on? I made it to a shop that a friend owned and I said, oh, do you know what's going on? And he said, oh, I think someone's robbing the bank. People heard and ran in response. They wanted to see. I think the reaction in the city has helped me to understand what it would have been like for Jesus to in this passage. People have heard and they run to see. And as more and more people hear about Jesus, more and more people come rushing to him. They've heard the great things that are happening and they want to be a part of it. Maybe they've got sick family, a demon-possessed son. But the nation of Israel was expecting a Messiah, and Jesus has declared that he is the one who fulfills this prophecy that was read. People want to see for themselves. Because the point of this part is that the point of this part is that Jesus is showing them that he is the Son of God, that he is God in flesh, that he is the one who can show them who the Father is. Jesus may have treated their symptoms. They saw the miraculous before their very eyes. They saw a picture of the kingdom that is to come. Jesus came to show that he is the Son of God. Can you see that he has authority over sickness and disease? Can you see here that he can heal? That he can change the natural order of this world? Can you see his power and authority as we see him heal all these symptoms? And as Jesus healed these symptoms, we need to look at this with a glimpse of eternal life with Jesus, where Jesus has the power to heal us for an eternity, where our sickness and illnesses are treated once for all. Jesus' healing symptoms show us something much greater, don't they? They show us the future. It shows us a future of life with Jesus. It shows us his authority. And for us, our response should be to run to him. Run to the one who has authority over all things. Don't look at what he does and remain amazed, but look at what he does, turn to him, and trust him. As Jesus deals with all these symptoms, he shows us who he is. Jesus, the Son of God, the one who came to save. And this is exactly what we see Jesus say in our last point for today. See, our third point is that Jesus preaches about a problem. Now, if this were show and tell, he's telling us why he came. Why he came. In verse 42, we see that we enter another day. It's daybreak. And Jesus went to a quiet place, but like a bank robbery, people continue to come to him. They try to stop him from leaving. We saw that in Nazareth. They tried to kill him, but here they seem to accept him, or maybe they just want more miracles. They want more people to be healed. But Jesus reminds them why he came. Look at verse 43. But Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Jesus came to preach. That's the reason he came, to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. Yes, he healed. Yes, he sent people home walking, but he came to preach about our problem. Now, this is the first time we've come across this phrase in Luke's gospel. And Jesus says, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God." It's the first time he says the kingdom of God. Jesus will continue to tell the people throughout Luke's gospel about the kingdom of God. The kingdom will be for children who trust in Jesus. It will be hard for the rich to enter the kingdom. The kingdom may make us leave family and friends. And the kingdom will be like a mustard seed, starting small, but growing into something great and awesome. See, Jesus came to preach the good news about the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus read in Isaiah. He was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom. We see here in verse 43, the good news of the kingdom. So what is the good news of the kingdom? What's the message that Jesus came to tell the people? The good news of the kingdom is that Jesus died for you. Jesus preaches to our problem. He can heal our symptoms, but he can preach to our problems. And sin is our problem. He came to die for our sin. And as we go through the book of Luke, we'll see again and again, Jesus' work on the cross for our sin is good news. The kingdom of God is not something that humanity has established. It's got nothing to do with a king or a leader in the world today. The kingdom of God is built wholly by God himself. It's through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we are brought into the kingdom of God. And as we look at the book of Luke, we get glimpses of what this kingdom is like. A bit like the healing miracles in this passage. They show us what the kingdom is like. A kingdom of relief. A kingdom that has sight for the blind. A kingdom where the oppressed are released. It will be like a year of the Lord's favour. A spiritual kingdom that preaches to all people, saying to them, "Trust him. He has opened the way for them to be free." See, the good news that Jesus preaches is that our sin needs to be dealt with, and Jesus has done it. He's done it for you. Our problem with sin is a bit like being stuck in a hole you just can't get out of. You're stuck. But the good news of Jesus is that Jesus is like a friend who finds you in that hole. And Jesus does what any good friend would do. He hears you. He draws near to you. He dives into the hole with you. He gets hurt. He gets dirty. But in the process, he lifts you up on his shoulders and he gets you out of the hole. That's why he came. This is the good news of the gospel. This is the preaching of the kingdom. To tell people that Jesus is the one who gave his life for you. He came to save you from your sin. This is why Jesus is so keen to preach the kingdom of God. To show us who he is and to tell us why he came. Because it's a message that saves. As a church, we support many people to tell others about Jesus around the world. Mick Alley does this in Kenya. We have Bessie who's preparing to leave. We have Corrine who shared with us today. We have scripture teachers who are telling kids in our local schools the good news of Jesus. And that's great. We can support each and every one of them, and we should. But the task of preaching is not just for those who are sent. It's not even just for me. The task is for all of us. Now, some of you may say, oh, I couldn't do that. But it's the same reason I keep going back to telling you why Jesus came for you. Because I want you to realize just how much Jesus has done for you. He's given his life for you. And when you realize that, I don't think you'll be able to keep it to yourself. It's why we speak about our oikos, and I want to remind you again of this. Grab one of these little brochures if you can't remember. These are the 10 to 15 people that you come across regularly. We want to be praying for people. We want to speak the gospel into their lives. We want to pray for them, invest in them, tell them about Jesus, invite them to come to church. It's a bit like we're doing show and tell with our lives. Showing them who Jesus has made us to be, and then telling them that the gospel is good news and freedom from sin. The thing I love about oikos is that we don't need to know everything about Jesus. We don't need to know all the answers, because it relies on the relationship that you already have with Jesus. It's about showing how Jesus is shaping your life and telling them what Jesus has done for you. We're in the business of show and tell. Saving people, this is how we treat the problem. This is why Jesus came, to preach the good news of the kingdom. So why not join with me and pray that we will be people who share this good news with those around us. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that we may be people who are excited to show and tell the good news that you have sent your Son to earth to save us from our sin. Lord, give us courage, give us patience, help us to know that your gospel is truth, help us to know that it will affect change in the lives of those around us. Give us hearts that desire to see more people saved and in a relationship with you. Lord, we ask that you use each one of us, and we pray this in the strong name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.